Y'all really gonna get upset when I take up the offering. Have any of y'all ever seen the old movie Crossing the Switchblade? Come out back in the 60s. I'm gonna show it to the teenagers one night because they'd be surprised to see how much they dressed like people did back in the 60s. Amen. And this is about when Teen Challenge was started. David Wilkerson was having a service, and he picked the warlords of four different groups to take up the offering. And this one guy walks up, and he holds up the milk cart for the guy to drop money in. He pulled a dollar out, the boy bumped him. You seen the guy just look up, see how big that mean looking kid is. He hits the whole bill for throws it in. I'm thinking, that's my ushers. I need to pray. We're going to pray tonight. Brother Fred Martin has cancer. Sister Whitstone, let's remember her. And Brother Johnny Smith. Brother Smith is still dealing with the problems he's been dealing with. Don't know that he's ever going to get any better, but he works every day. And we need to pray for him. Brother Cobb, he's here doing better. But let's continue to remember him, and he'll get even better. Let's remember Brother Johnny Knight, that God would touch him. He has liver cancer. Brother Clements, let's remember him in prayer tonight. He's here, but let's ask God to strengthen him. Amen. God to touch him. Let's remember Tyron Goodwin, Tammy Cable. Tammy was here this morning, but she really needs God to touch her and minister to her in her life. JoJo Corley, he broke his neck, and he is getting better, but we need to continue to remember him. Miss Engelbert, who was in a car wreck. My sister asked we have prayer for her. She's out in South Dakota, but she was injured in a car wreck out there and needing prayer. Let's remember her. Let's remember Billy McCormick, Phyllis Spurlock, Patricia Roper, Billy Ruth Massey, Elsie Booth, which is a personal friend of our family who has cancer. Brother Joey Vick, continue to remember him. As I said, he was sent to the hospital, possible aneurysm last week, and he went from an aneurysm to a bleeding on the brain to a small place with blood coming out to no blood coming out to going home. Amen. And so we believe God's doing a miracle for him, but let's just hold him up in prayer that that will continue. Amen. And also Stephen Moore's mother. Stephen works with Patrick, and she had a stroke, and the young man's pretty upset about this happening to his mom, so let's continue to remember her and ask God to touch her. If you have a need, would you signify by raising your hand? God knows what we have need of. He knows what we're thinking about. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to touch these needs tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. God, we are believing you, Lord. Lord, that you are going to lift us up above the shadows and minister to our lives tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you, God, through the power of your divine grace. We believe you to touch every need brought before you. We believe you, Lord, to let the power of your grace move in this house, Lord. God, on the needs we brought before you, but also on us tonight. God, we need a move of your spirit to lift us up above the shadows and help us to walk in the presence of your grace. And God, we will give you glory and honor for that we receive from you. God, that the power of your grace would come down and move. And God, we believe you now. Let the glory of your love touch tonight. And for that we receive from you, we give you praise. Lord, bless us tonight with the outpouring of your spirit. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Prisoner free, and by his own great mercy we saved. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord reigns. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord Almighty reigns. For he has shown his awesome power. He has triumphed mightily. He's a victor over darkness and the grave. He has broken the chains that bound us. He has set the prisoner free. And by his own great mercy we are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a victor over darkness and the grave. He has broken the chains that bound us. He has set the prisoner free. And by his own great mercy we are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Magnify.
Oh, magnify.
The Lord a praise. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on and give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The praises of his people. You want to live in the Lord, then give him praise. He'll live in you.
Amen. Amen. I haven't preached in a long time, and I'm probably not going to tonight, but somebody is.
the city of thy God. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of thy God.
I will rejoice, and be
just a moment. Amen. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Man. Hallelujah. Oh, what an awesome opportunity you have to come into the presence of Almighty God. Amen. And receive from Him. Lord. See, it doesn't cost any more to receive from God than it did for you to get here. Amen. Several years ago, I went to the General Assembly with a buddy of mine. I love him to death, but we have a total different philosophy of life. He was riding in a Mercedes wearing $300 suits, and this was in the 70s. I was driving Toyotas and wearing my Jacques Pinet. Yeah, J.C. Penney. Well, I have an effect on these, buddy. They're running out on me. They've had enough. Glory. We get out there, and this guy looked at me, and he says, "Hey, I'm only going to eat one time a day. I found a buffet." And this dude was like a camel in the desert. He'd go to that buffet, and he'd load up. Then he'd try to lace all day long off what he ate in that buffet. Now, church, I like to eat, but I'm an incremental eater. I'll eat several times a day, but I can load the wagon, but I'd rather eat several times a day and, do preventive maintenance. And we went to that buffet. I thought he was joking because he's a pretty good-sized fellow himself. Man, he almost embarrassed me. He kept eating so much stuff. And that's saying something. Shut up, sis. That sister back there. When I was little, I could eat. But, you know, I got up the next morning. He was serious. He didn't go eat breakfast or nothing. We went down there, you know, and we went to the meeting, and I about starved. I slipped out and got a hot dog about 10 o'clock. Because, I mean, that's all they had to eat at that place. And I grabbed one of them and eat it, and it was better than nothing. And I'll never forget the next morning, I caught some of the guys from the motel going down to eat, and I said, can I go with y'all? And they said, sure. And we were in Kansas City, Missouri, 1978. And we went out of the motel and down the street a little ways down there. There's a little restaurant. We went in and sat down and eat. And if I may eat breakfast, I may eat. I sat down and I got eggs and, you know, fried over medium, some bacon, some sausage, some flapjacks to go with the sausage, and some biscuits, some ham to go with the biscuits. I ordered some wheat toast so I wouldn't get too much starch. Got me some coffee, and I sat in there, and he decided to go with us. He leaned over, and he said, you going to eat that? And I said, yeah. And I said, one thing you don't do, you don't fool with my plate. I will bite you if you fool with my food. You got a better chance of fooling with my money and getting away than fooling with my food when I'm hungry. He looked up and he got a cup of coffee and he said, well, bring me some toast. And the woman brought him some toast. One of the other guys gave him something. I finally gave him a piece of bacon. But I'm thinking, the guy's driving a Mercedes. I don't know about y'all, but I'd hock the Mercedes and eat if I was hungry. You know? And so we're sitting there and we got ready to leave. We started out and they started ringing us all up. And everybody was paying the same thing. I got up and the lady rung mine up. It was $3.75. And he was about to shout. He said, man, you get out for $3.75, I'm going to get out of here for about a dollar or two. And, you know, he's sitting there thinking, I eat some of everybody else's, my toast and my coffee. And he handed the tickets. He rung it up, said, that's $3.75. He said, lady, that guy ate half your restaurant. You didn't charge him a $3.75. She said, didn't you read the menu? He said, what? He says, a la carte. All you care to take, it all costs the same. See, that's the way God serves it up. It's a la carte. It all costs you the same. You leave here without getting what you need. You can't blame anybody but yourself because the table is spread. All you got to do is get up the table and eat. Oh, amen. Glory. Amen. And there's some good victuals on that table tonight. I can feel them. Amen. It's time to come for the offering. So if you get quiet, I'll know what turns you off. I want the ushers, if they will, to come. We want you to give tonight as unto the Lord. I want to compliment you this morning for coming through. Some of you hadn't paid your tithes, called them up. Some of you explained you weren't catching up. You just had a little extra money this week. So it doesn't really matter. Amen. If you hadn't paid your tithes, pay your tithes. If not, give an offering. You know, church, one thing that's always bothered me is a normal Sunday morning, Sunday night offering ain't enough money to buy a plate of groceries for somebody to eat at a restaurant. Because all y'all figure everybody else is giving. I always make it a purpose to try to give something every time I go to church. Somebody said, I don't ever see you give anything. We give stuff, I guarantee you. Hello? And I want you not just to give as unto the Lord. This offering's going to the general fund of the church. And since y'all fanning, y'all know we need it. Church, listen, we're going to get them air conditioners fixed. It just takes a while because of where they are, and we've been told we can't put them back up there. Amen. So until the Lord helps us and sends a wind. We're working on it. It's just you got to get a crew that can get in here and start on Monday and end up by Friday or Saturday, or you'd be like this on Sunday with no air. And we don't want that. So we're working on it. Just bear with us. But we want you to give tonight. May God bless you for giving. Father, we thank you tonight for your love, for your mercy, and we ask God you'd touch, move, and minister tonight with the power of your divine grace. God, let the power of your love flow among your people tonight. Lord, bless those that give and those that have not to give. Minister to them, God, that next week they will be able to give. And God, that in giving you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings in our lives we cannot contain. They will then become shaken and running over by your grace. God, we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May God bless you as you give. Amen. give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Now, we got some folks coming to sing for us in just a moment, but I want to thank you for being here tonight. My sister is here tonight, so anybody fools with me, you're in trouble. Lord, I thought about picking on somebody to watch your waist you. Lord. Amen. Love you, sis. I'll probably have to leave before the rest of you do. Amen. But we do appreciate them coming, being with us tonight. And Brother Paul and Vicky Champion, we appreciate y'all being here. Brother Paul, stand up and testify. You remember how to do that? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate them coming, being with us. They're longtime friends of the family. Matter of fact, Sister Vicky used to live across from Frida's mom and dad. Didn't live across from Frida because Frida was already married to me. But she lived across from Frida's mom and dad, and they are some kin. Oh, amen. Because if you're from Buell and you got burrs in you, you kin. Hello? Amen. Praise God. Worship with the singers. Trio of whatever. The Whatever Trio is singing for us tonight.
Gabriel's golden trumpet sounds. All the saints will leave the ground. They are rising up to meet the blessed Lord. Oh, how they shout as they rise to their home beyond the skies. They're in the bride of Christ and they are coming home. Oh, here they come, oh, what a thrill. Here they come, marching up to Zion's hill. The victory's won as they bow before God's Son, the bride of Jesus. Is coming home.
Here comes mom, here comes dad. Oh, their faces look so glad as they march and they sing redemption song. Oh, what a smile upon their face as they sing Amazing Grace. They're in the bride of Christ and they are coming home. Oh, here they come, oh, what a thrill. Here they come, marching up to Zion's hill. The victory's won
as they bow before God's Son. The bride of Jesus is coming home.
Oh, here they come.
Son, the bride of Jesus is coming home. The bride of Jesus is coming home.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free.
guilt of my past. Oh, I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
I'm free from the guilt that I carry, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish child I used to be.
I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. Oh, I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. Oh, I'm trading my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
And if you love the Lord tonight, would you say praise the Lord? Amen. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, to be in His presence. Amen. We're believing God to touch and minister. I have a job for my wife tonight. Some of you mentioned that you would like to have a copy of the CD from last Sunday morning. We have a copy made of it. If you wish to have a copy of it, see my wife, and she will take your name, and we will make you a copy of last Sunday morning's sermon on liberty and the Word of God and what it goes along with. So if you don't remember what it was, don't worry about it. But if you want a copy of the CD, you can purchase it. If you want to listen to it over the internet, it's free of charge, and it's on the internet. Go to alabasterchurchofgod.org, go to sermons, download, go over to July 4th, 2010, hit the button, and there it'll be. Glory, and it'll play for you. Amen. So just if you want to buy a copy of it, you can buy a copy of it. We'll figure out the charge. I'm trying to raise money. I got to have $2,600 to get out of jail next Thursday, this coming Thursday week. And if I don't have it, I got to stay in jail. And the kids rally going to have to take off without your pastor. Hello? The 22nd of July at 9:30 in the morning, I'm going to be arrested. I already know that. And if I leave town, it's worse. So I'm going to stay in town. But it's for a good cause. Pastor's trying to raise money for three young men to go to camp who have muscular dystrophy. And if I can raise the $2,600, they can go to summer camp. I don't know about y'all, but if I had that problem, I'd like to go. And let's face it, what made me get involved is that some of these guys won't be here next year to go. And I'd like to let them have a good time this year if we can. So if you want to help me out, I'm going to take up an offering next Sunday morning for that purpose. And, I wish you would help me out. If you don't, I'm going to try to raise the money one way or the other. May have to sell Alicia. You don't want to buy her for domestic stuff. She don't clean, cook. All she does is eat and sleep. Huh? Oh, and sing. Yeah, some mornings I get up, slap her, say, sing so I know why I give you money. Glory. Amen. I love you, sweetheart. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 137th division. Amen. We're believing God to touch and to minister to the Lord with his power today. Psalms 137. Amen. Everybody there? I know some of y'all going to wait and cheat. It's going to be up here in a minute, but I'd rather you look it up yourself. Amen. I like people have a Bible in their hand. Lord. I used to go to New York and preach, and they had a church run about 1,700 folks, and they'd shout and dance and go crazy, and all of a sudden the preacher says, time for sermon. And you'd hear notes going everywhere, and they'd all have notes. Have you ever tried to keep notes with me? There was a couple of them could take shorthand, I believe, because they kept up. They would take notes, and boy, they'd have their Bibles out, and at the church they'd come by and say, preacher, you missed such and such on the third chapter of John. And they'd have some word I missed. It didn't change what it said. I just missed the word. I said, well, I'm sorry. Glory. And I didn't say I was quoting it verbatim. You know, if I'm not looking down here, you're getting the Ken Stroop version. It's close. But I might miss an and or a the every once in a while. You know, it's kind of like Alex one time at VBS. And they had to memorize scripture. And he had to memorize Jeremiah 33:3. And he gave them the Alex Stroop version. Call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you powerful stuff you don't know. Hey, it worked. He got his points. Psalms 137th division. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. For how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people tonight and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand. Look him right in the eye and say, God wants to bless you tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight, and we've only took an hour of your time so far, so we're in good shape. Amen. But I want to talk to you tonight on a simple subject. We need to hear a sound from heaven. Amen. Now, I made the statement one time that David didn't write all the Psalms, and I had a fella come to me and said, oh, no, brother, David wrote all the Psalms. I've read those books on the Psalms of David. And I said, I'm sorry, but he didn't write all of them. And there's some of them I can prove to you he didn't write, and this is one of them. Because whoever wrote this was carried away into Babylonian captivity, and David was never carried into Babylonian captivity. So he did not write this psalm. Just because he did write them, you'll see a psalm of David. Amen. Hello? But this one doesn't say that. It was written by somebody who was carried into Babylonian captivity. But listen to what it said. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. These people are now into slavery. They remember what used to be. I want to tell you something, church. One of the greatest things you got going for you is your remembering. Amen. I preached a sermon one time, The Ministry of Forgettery. One of the greatest things you can do for yourself is forget some stuff. Amen. Some of y'all need to manage, get that ministry and put it to effect in your life. There's some things you need to let go of. Hello? I remember when I was a kid, there's some things that happened I don't want to remember, because they don't bring back good memories. But there's some things I don't want to forget. I mean, there's some things I like to think about and remember, because when I think about them, I get a little joy in my heart about things that went on. Amen. I was raised in a family that was pretty close and in trouble all the time, and they ain't nothing like Sunday dinner at mama's house when the sandwiches was brought out. Glory. Amen. Or when 20-something people would sleep in a three-bedroom house and we'd be everywhere. My sister's back there nodding her head because she remembers them days. I remember coming in one night and I had to sleep in a lounge chair like they have out on the front yard. Them yard chairs, that's what I was sleeping in, but I'd better off my brother, he was on the floor. Of course, he didn't start out there. That's where he ended up when he didn't get up, because daddy went in and threw him in the floor and said, "You up now? Go to work." Glory. But you know, those are things you like to remember, because it wasn't me he threw in the floor. Hello? But you know, there's some things you want to remember. But now notice this. The children of Zion are remembering Jerusalem in its greatest day. They remember when the choirs used to sing and the glory of God would come down. And as it was said after the prayer, when they first dedicated the temple, and said when Solomon made an end of prayer, the Shekinah glory filled the Holy of Holies. And those people remembered those days when they'd get in the outer court and dance before the ark of God and sing and praise him, and knowing that the presence of God was with them. Amen. And they're sitting there now knowing Jerusalem has been destroyed. There is no more temple because it's gone. And now they're sitting there by the rivers of Babylon and they're saying, "Oh God, don't let me forget the great things. Don't let me let go of what used to be." Can I tell you, church, there's a heritage we need to be passing on to some young folks, and that's a heritage that our God is still God, that he is still able to do what he used to do. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to start having church like we used to have church, when we come to the house of God and let God move on us and minister to us and take us into another era with his glory. Amen. And the Bible said they hang their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, meaning they hung their sanctification out for everybody to see, and they were just ready to give up. And then it said, "They that carried us away required of us a song." Amen. Can you imagine that? Here they are, the whole world's falling apart, and the enemy's going, "Hey, sing for us, baby." Because let me tell you something, Jews are some of the most emotional people you ever met in your life. I mean, y'all think we got emotional folks. Jews will put you to shame when they throw it down. Glory. I've been in Jerusalem, and they come into town, and they take over a motel. I mean, on Friday afternoon, the siren sounds, and you don't ever want to spend your first experience in Jerusalem not knowing what's going on when you're in a Palestinian grocery, and you hear the air raid siren go off. I dove under a shelf, and the guy comes walking over and bumped me. He said, "It's just the Sabbath." I'm serious. I'm on the ground crawling under something, because all I can think is, this ain't a blue top. And the Jews will tell you, if you're in a building that's not a blue top and there's an air raid, watch out, because that building could get hit. Amen. Because they marked the building so they won't bomb them. And all I could think was, this building ain't marked, and I'm trying to find a hole to get in. I moved one shelf while I was getting under it. That Palestinian dude thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny at all when he started bumming, saying, "It's just the Sabbath." I mean, I didn't know. It was my first trip over. And all of a sudden, I find out they start Sabbath, I sound in that siren, and everybody quit work. Everybody starts heading, getting ready for worship. They start flowing into town that afternoon. Our motel that had been kind of sparsely populated now is overloaded with people. Where we used to go to the restaurant, they've now turned that into a sanctuary, and they're in there in their little synagogue, and one guy will read out of a scroll for a while, and then they'll start singing, and they'll get in a circle, and they'll be dancing, and they'll be kicking their feet, and they'll be carrying on, and it won't be long till they're running around doing some more, and then a guy read a little bit. You know, I went about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I walk in, and they're still throwing down in there, been going since 5 o'clock. I go walking in, I says, "All right, if I come in," the guy said, "Hey, you can participate if you're serious about worshiping God." I said, "I just want to watch." And I watched for an hour or so, went on back up, laid down, slept an hour or two, went back down. They still throwing down, having church, because they're worried about having church. Can I tell Radius Church, these folks know how to hang out, how to have church. Amen. And now here the enemy is, got their life messed up. Everything they hold true is gone. Everything they thought they could have is gone. And now they're going, hey, sing for us now, big boy. Show us your God now. Can I tell you, that's just what the devil's doing to the church right now. He is poking us in the side saying, hey, sing us one of them songs you used to sing. Shout down an aisle like you used to shout. Can I tell you, it's time the church stood up and said, my God is still on the throne. My God is still in charge. My God is still able to do what he's always done. Woo! Thank God there were some Hebrew boys, a quartet going to turn them upside down. Glory. Hello? We need to hear from God, church. We've heard a lot of sounds in the past. Hello? We've heard the sounds of that guy standing on the moon surface in the 60s. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all going, I wasn't around then. I remember seeing that, and all I could think was, that's an American. I was watching it, and I'll never forget, I went to see my papa the next week, and we were sitting there talking about the man on the moon. He said, hey, it's out in Arizona somewhere in the desert. They wasn't on no moon. I said, papa, what makes you think that? He said, come here, boy. He turned the TV on. It was on. We're sitting there watching it. He said, is there air on the moon? I said, no, sir. He said, then why is that flag flapping? Made sense to me. I started wondering myself. Glory. See, some of y'all sitting there say, preacher. I don't know. I think they went there, but at the same time, he had a point. The flag was flapping, and there is no wind on the moon. I don't know what caused it. One of them guys may went, I don't That's hard to do with that helmet on. Some of y'all ought to think about that. Y'all going, oh, my God, preacher. Glory. We heard the sound of that guy saying, this is one small step for man, but one giant step for mankind. Amen. We've heard the sound of the inventors when they've told us we've invented something else. Don't make it easier to live and get by, but the more we seem to find it easier to live, the more complicated our lives are becoming because we got to learn how to do this or that or the other. Come on, church. Ain't nothing simple anymore. We've heard the sounds of our doctors when they tell us, hey, we found a cure for this disease, and about time they got one took care of, another pops up that's worse than that ever thought about being, and now we got to figure out how to do research to come up with a way to cure it. Amen. We've heard the sounds of our politicians when they've told us we're going to fix it and everything's going to be all right, and with every time we have an election, things are going downhill faster than they were the last time, and they finally get in office going, you know, I really can't do what I said I was going to do, and I know I promise no taxes, but we got to have money and we got to tax you some more. Amen. Come on, church. We've heard the sounds of the world telling us everything's going to be all right when we know it's not coming around good, but it's time we hear a sound from heaven. Amen. It's time we hear a sound like they heard in the upper room when all of them got in one mind, one accord, and there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and the Bible tells us they began to have the power of God move on each and every one of them. We need to hear that kind of sound. Glory. Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice they didn't speak what they wanted to. It was what the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't use the Spirit. They were used by the Spirit. There's a big difference. I've seen people use the Spirit. Don't get quiet on me now. I'll stop and just spend the night with that one. Glory. It's one thing for you to get in the flesh. It's another for the Spirit to use you. Come on, church. Smile at me. And y'all have heard me make this statement. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't got to worry too much about getting in the flesh right now. I was born in the flesh, I was raised in the flesh, and until I die, I'm going to be in the flesh. What I got to do is come to church and get in the spirit. For that to happen, I got to start preparing before I get here. And if I don't, I'm never going to make the transition. Come on, church. Amen. Well, preacher, why is that important? Because I can never truly worship God till I get loose in the spirit. He said, give me scripture. There cometh a time, and now is the time, when we must worship God in spirit and in truth. For he being spirit can only be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And if we're really going to touch the throne of God, we got to get loose in the power of God, and we got to let God have his way. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Because if we can hear from heaven like they heard in the upper room, then we're going to hear from heaven like they heard on the streets of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. As it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also upon thine handmaid and upon thy servant will I pour out of the spirit of prayer and supplication. What's he saying? Peter stands up and said, guys, these people aren't drunk like you think. It's too early in the morning for people to be drunk. What's going on is they've been touched by the power that Joel talked about in the second chapter of his prophecy, when he said, in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit, and that anointing is what's falling on these men. And what you need today is to hear a sound from heaven when that anointing comes into your life, and no longer you're bound by what used to be, but you move into the presence of God, into what's going to be in your life. Could you say amen? In the streets, the people heard in their own language. You can read it for yourself in that second chapter. There's about 10 languages present, but they all heard them speaking in their own language. Amen. Now, these were guys that couldn't speak those languages, but they spoke them. Come on, church. Smile. So I said, preacher, why is that? Because the Spirit of God uses his abilities to help you reach people sometime. Come on, church. Now, I mess around with some Romanian and a little bit of Spanish, enough to get in trouble and to find a few places. I speak enough broken German to get slapped if I talk wrong to a German, meaning I'm not proficient in none of that. One guy asked me, said, you speak any other language? I said, I but told one time I didn't speak English. Lord. I'm serious. I was preaching at the Jamaican church. I said, I need an interpreter, because he spoke such perfect English. I thought that he just had learned it. I didn't realize in Jamaica the King's English is the official language, you know. And so I'm sitting there, I said, I need an interpreter. He said, yes, man, we speak English. I said, what do I speak? He said, I don't know, but it's hard to follow sometimes. Glory. Amen. Now, y'all understand me, because y'all understand colloquial metaphors of the South. Glory. Hello. I blowed your mind with a big word, didn't I? Glory. That's just them words we use all the time, like gee chit. Yep. Hello. How you mama and them? I've had more fun with that than anybody. You get in another country and ask them how they mama and them, they'll look at you. I was in New York one time, walked up to a Haitian brother, said, how's your mama and them? He said, huh? I said, how's your mama and them? He said, Brother Ken, I've studied synonyms and homonyms and antonyms. What's a mama and them? Pastor Whitby looked up and said, he wants to know how your family's doing. Lord, amen. He said, Brother Ken, you crazy. Hey, if I'm around Buell around here somewhere, I can say that and everybody'll answer. They're doing good. I ain't gotta have a dictionary. They understand that. These guys were from all over the known world at that time, yet they heard these men who could not speak their language and understood what they were saying, because they were proclaiming to them Jesus Christ and him crucified, and 3,000 of them came to know Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to hear like the people at the prayer meeting in Jerusalem in the third chapter. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the city. Now notice something, church. We feel sorry for this guy, but he had friends. Somebody took him to work and brought him home. He had a job. He didn't lay around waiting on welfare. Glory. He went down to the temple and took up alms as people went in the door. Hello? Whew. Some of y'all didn't like it. who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. Now, church, you got to be a little messed up to ask the preacher for money. Most preachers ain't got no money. Especially itinerant evangelist. Believe me, I've been there, done that, wore the t-shirt. Hello? Peter had a little more money on him. Bible said Peter fast his eyes on him. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'm going to share it with you. What did he share? He shared an anointing of God. Because, man, all of a sudden he takes him by the hand, and the next thing you know, he jerked him to his feet. Now, church, let me tell you something. What's the worst thing you could do to a dude that ain't never walked, who can't stand on his own 2 feet because they gnarled and turned around, and all of a sudden you jerk him in the air, and he got to land on them feet? He didn't just wait to see if something was going to happen. He just jerked him, and that guy gets airborne. You can see him, ah! I got feet. And notice something. He didn't have to go to therapy. He didn't have to be taught how to walk again. Church, let me tell you something. You go a few weeks without walking normal, you have to have somebody help you learn how to keep your balance. This dude ain't never walked in his life, but the Bible said he went running and leaping and shouting. Hallelujah. Amen. He runs into outer court and has a time, cuts up a place called Solomon's Porch, and they got a prayer meeting going on, and he busts up the prayer meeting. I mean, they done got irritated. This dude's up there having church, and they've been out there having a quiet time, and he come running down through there, and about that time, somebody said, hey, that's the old dude been sitting at the gate all these years. He can't walk. Somebody said, no, but he can run and he can jump. Amen. And Peter goes walking in, and one of them says, hey, look at this guy. He's the one who did it. Peter said, don't look on me as if it was something I did, but the God of the father Abraham and of Jacob and of Isaac, the one whose son you crucified, is the one that has lifted this man up. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. We need to hear a sound from heaven that lets us know it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith God. And in the anointing, anything is possible. Oh. We need to hear like the horn at Cornelius' house. Now, church, Cornelius was already a dedicated man of God. He was fasting and praying, offering sacrifices for God to send someone to his house to give them a word from God. And show you the God I serve. While Cornelius is praying, God's working on his preacher. Because the preacher ain't going to have nothing to do with Cornelius because he's a Gentile. And Peter's a Jew. And he don't think you ought to preach the gospel to a Jew, Gentile. And God puts him on a housetop. And he lets down this thing. He lets him see some hogs in that thing. He said, eat. And Peter says, I can't eat. That's not clean. God said, if I said it's clean, son, you eat. Hello? Oh, smile at me, church. I don't have to stay here. But some of y'all need to understand, if God says it's clean, you need to get your hand off of it. Not yet. That's good preaching. Because there's some folks I might look at and not think they're clean and don't realize they just ain't had time to change. Oh, I see some of you not going to preach. No. Somebody been over yonder bad. They get right. It takes them a while to turn the corner. And you got to give them time. And sometimes they're better off than you are. And you sitting there looking down your nose like, yeah, bless God. And God's going, I'm blessing them, not you. You the hypocrite. Wasn't it bad? And I get like this. Look at my wife. She been out taking a pill. Glory. I don't know, but I like it when I get like this. I'm not afraid to tell you what's really on my mind. Glory. Because let me tell you something, church. If you look down your nose at somebody that God's got a hold of, God's going to look down his nose at you. Hallelujah. And you need to understand, if God's working in their behalf, you need to get in there and work with them. Come on, church. Amen. Oh, y'all like John Richardson right now. But if y'all knew him before he got right, y'all wouldn't have gotten a room with a guy. Come on, church. Amen. What we got to realize, sometimes there's projects in work that ain't been finished yet. But if God's working on them, he's in the project business and he's working. Come on, church. Amen. I want you to go back and look. He filled his church up with a bunch of old slabs that nobody else would use to build a building with. But he made it out of slabs. Amen. He went and found people nobody else would do anything with. Come on. Read the Old Testament. David was my neighbor. I'd never leave town. Some of y'all gonna figure that out in a minute. It's getting through. Some of you's looking around. What did he say? God, you ever read the genealogy of Christ in Matthew chapter 1? You ever read the patriarchs in there? The matriarchs? You ever noticed all the matriarchs had a bad background? He got the lady that run the brothel over at Jericho. Huh? He got her son marrying a woman from another country, a Moabitess. So don't stick your nose up. You don't know who God's going to put in place next time. And he gets a hold of them, starts working on them. Come on, that's good preaching. Amen. Cornelius is over praying, God, send us somebody. He's working on Peter. Finally, Peter goes down to Cornelius' house, and he gets there. Amen. Notice what happened in the 10th chapter. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And in the 9th hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. In the 44th verse, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on thee, which he heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter goes back to tell them what happened in Jerusalem. He said, while I was still preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them like it did on us in that upper room, and they were filled with the Spirit just like we were. Can I tell you, we need to hear a sound from heaven like they heard at Cornelius' house that'll make us wake up and understand God is in charge of what's going on in the church. I gotta hurry. I'm gonna preach a little faster. Y'all gear up. Hey, I passed my test this morning. The theological student wrote me a note. Great service. God bless. I'm going, oh, hallelujah. It bugs me when a professor of theology shows up. Might not bother y'all, but I know he knows more about what I'm trying to say before I say it. Hello? I want us to hear like the people of Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? Then baptized. And they said, unto John's baptism. And then Paul said, Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, and they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Could you say amen to that, church? We need to hear a sound like they heard in Ephesus. Little background. Ephesus was the idol capital of the world. There was more idolatry there than anywhere else in the world at that time, as far as the Asia Minor was concerned. They were loaded up with Satanism and all type of goth type stuff and all type of ungodly carrying on. And when Paul comes in, that little band got together, and in a few months' time, the whole of Ephesus began to move in the power of the Spirit and the anointing of God, and they burned, according to some writers, as much as $6 million worth of pagan paraphernalia and books. They put it in a pile and burned it up, because revival came when the anointing of God came. Can I tell you, that is the answer for Alabaster? We need a move of God that'll chase the devil out and make people turn toward the name of God. And it's time we said, God, I want to hear a sound from heaven that'll get in my life and set me on fire and drive me to a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to hear from God in the last day so we can turn the world upside down. Church, let me tell you something. Where we are in the church of God, we stand at a crossroads. We were born in Pentecostal fervor. I stood at Shear Schoolhouse and felt the anointing of God We had an old-fashioned prayer meeting there around that place, and God just come down right where the Church of God originated, Camp Creek, North Carolina. I was in Romania, and they carried us out to this little apple orchard. We went in this little house, and we got there, and all of a sudden this Romanian guy said, "Here is where Pentecost started in Romania, about the same time it fell in Camp Creek, North Carolina." Hey, y'all realize about the same time it fell in Camp Creek, North Carolina, it was falling at Azusa Street in California. Hello? And we're sitting there, and they said there was a little lady lived in this house, had a little bedroom in the back, little kitchen in the middle, and a sitting area when you come through the front door. It was just a little, what we call a shotgun. This wasn't nothing but just a .22 rifle. I mean, you could almost bump the walls walking through. And we got in that back there, and there were six of us, and we filled up the bedroom. And they had a little desk there with some stuff on it for remembrance, but this house is sacred to the people that are Pentecostal in Romania. It started in an apple orchard today. There are several hundred thousand, maybe over a million, who are members of the Pentecostal Church of Romania. Amen. And I'm sitting there, and they're talking, said this lady had a garter, and she was praying for God to touch her and to minister to her, and she was leaning on that windowsill crying one night. There were people picking apples in the orchard late in the afternoon, and she's there praying and crying, and all of a sudden, the power of God hit her, and she fell out on the floor and began to move in the power of the Spirit, to speak in other tongues. The Spirit gave the utterance. She stood up. The garter disappeared. People out in the orchard started coming to see what was going on, looked in the house and fell on their knees and started praying, and she came outside, started laying hands on them. 300 people were converted to Jesus Christ from the Orthodox religion that night and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and revival broke out in Romania. And every night for the next 2 years, they had a meeting in that our apple grove, and more people coming from places were touched. I never forget, I was sitting there leaning on that windowsill, and I said, "Guys, just come get me later. I don't want to leave right now." And something started moving in that room, and God began to bless us right there. I almost had to get towed to the van because we was in a hurry to go. But I want to tell you, church, we need to hear a sound like they heard over in Camp Creek, North Carolina, over in that place in Romania. We need to hear a sound like they heard in the upper room. One more time, God, send an anointed power of your Holy Ghost into the house of the Lord and set us on fire with your glory. Stand with me all over the house. Preacher, why we need that? We got too many Christians today that's like Samson. They've been going through the motions so long they don't even know if the Spirit's there anymore. They just go through the motions. The Bible says Samson shook himself as in the past, but he wished not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. They put his eyes out, and the enemy made sport of him, laughed at him. He broke his covenant with God when he told the lady she cut his hair, because that was his covenant. She shaved his head and his power's gone. It wasn't in his hair, it was in his covenant. Because when he prayed, he didn't say, "God, one more time, let my hair grow." He leaned on that pillow and he said, "Lord, one more time, let me feel your Spirit. God, one more time, hit me with an anointing." Can I tell you, church, we need to pray that prayer. God, one more time. We need to get our hands on the pillars of this community and say, "God, one more time, let me feel your Spirit. God, one more time, let me feel the touch of your glory." And church, I believe if we do, we can see a move of God that will shake our families and shake our loved ones and bring them to an altar. We can see some deliverance where we've not seen it before. I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick and tired of sick folks. Hello? Come on, church. I know they're going to happen, and I'm going to do my job. I was thinking the other day, I was walking through and I passed a lady that I knew carrying some flowers to somebody, and I thought to myself, man, if we gave flowers to everybody in our church went to the hospital, we'd be broke. I think it's time we got a hold to God and said, "God, we need a move of your presence that'll set this place on fire. Start with us." Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me and say, "Preacher, you think you're not ever going to get sick?" No. But if there's ever any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. We need to forget Blue Cross Blue Shield and get a hold of God. Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of you are old enough to remember when we didn't run to the doctor every time we got a cold. We didn't run to the doctor every time blood came out. My God, you had to be have a limb hanging before you went to the doctor when I was a kid. Amen. I remember when grandparents used to get the grandkids and say, God, help them. And they expected you to get better. It was either the hit or the glory of God. One way or the other, you was going to get something when they come down with that hand. Glory. We need to get back in those days where we get to believing God is real. And for that to happen, we got to feel the realness of God. And for that to happen, we got to seek Him with all our heart. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you tonight for your love and for your mercy. God, I ask you to touch. God, I ask you to move. Lord, minister to us tonight. Make us, God, sit in heavenly places with you. Oh, Spirit of God, pour out your anointing in this house. Touch your people. God, place a hunger in us for your glory like we've never had. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Right now, church, the Spirit of God is flowing in this building. If you're here, you want a fresh anointing of God. You want to hear from God. I want you to step out and head to the front of this building. God, I want a fresh touch. I want to feel your spirit. God, I want to feel your anointing. God, I just want to draw closer to you than I've been in a long time. God, I want to make sure there's no veil between me and you that he pulled down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A friend of mine wrote a chorus years ago, let the veil down, let the praise go up. Hallelujah. That's all there is to it. Just let the veil down, let the praise go up. I guarantee you, if you'll pull the veil down and begin to praise him, I got a God that will open up the windows of heaven, begin to pour an anointing into your life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shut up. Hallelujah. When you get here, I want you to just begin to praise him. The Bible said, I bless his, come on, the wings of praise. Just begin to magnify him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 If we've ever needed anything, church, we need a move of God in Alabaster, Alabama. Amen. I know there are other places probably needed, but I'm not concerned with them right now. I'm concerned with Alabaster. We got to start it here before we reach out. We got to get a move of God in our families and in our homes. Hallelujah. I hear Hezekiah saying, this is why we need a move of God. Our wives, our sons, and our daughters are held captive, and we ourselves have lost our glory. But we need a move of God back in the house of God. We need a move of God back in our heart. God, we need your glory to come down tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise go up. Let the veil down. Let the praise go up. Let the veil down. You're in the presence of the Lord. Praise go up, let the veil down, let the praise go up, let the veil down, you're in the presence of the Lord. Let the veil down, let the praise go up, let the veil down, let the praise go up, let the veil down, you're in the presence of the Lord. Let the veil down, let the praise.
Spirit says
The great thing about what happened in everything I talked about tonight, whether it was the upper room, street of Jerusalem, Cornelius' house, the prayer meeting, Ephesus, they all came together. They quit worrying about my agenda, what I want, and started following into what the Spirit of God wanted and where the Spirit of God wanted to take them. And because they did that, Satan no longer had an inroad, because he couldn't influence one guy's agenda against another's agenda, because they was all paddling in the same way. The boat took off down the river. Oh. And there were times the boat went upstream and flowed just as full, because they were all going in the same direction. Oh. Can I tell you, that's what'll turn the world upside down. That's what'll change this church. Is when we get to that point, we just let God take control, and we're not worried about whether I get what I want or so-and-so gets what they want. We just go after God. Glory. Friday night, bridge. If you're in the barriers of 30 to 40 or so, you ought to be here. We've been studying a book called Be Mature, and we got some folks that's 40 or around that need some maturity. Hello? But we got this book to study. Never amazes me. It always has to be two at a time. Don't worry, everybody knows what I'm talking about. It ain't got nothing to do with what I say. It's what I saw. Glory. But you know, the truth of the matter is, this book is just, it's a simple study of the scriptures written by what I consider to be a pretty good preacher. Hello? And we're going to go have some fellowship afterwards and have some fun. But we need some folks to start coming. So if you're in that age group, come. If you know somebody in the age group, call them and bring them. And we'll get here, have a little meeting, study this word. Go have some fellowship, get in trouble, pray through. Hello? I told them, Yak and Snacks got it down. They come together, they have fellowship, play some games, get united. Works for them. Some of them say, we ain't going to do that. 10 years from now, you'd be glad to do it. You'd just be glad you can stay up late on a Friday night. Lord. Hello? Amen. Please remember this week, prayer meeting Monday night. We've got a lot to be praying about. Brother Ken's got some things going on in the background I need you to be praying about. Could make a big change in mine and my wife's life. And we're planning on moving soon to another part of Alabaster. Y'all ain't getting rid of us. We're just going to get our own house. I told you that when I showed up. And last week, somebody gave us some money on our house, and I'm hoping he's going to give me the rest of it in the next week or so, and we're going to get out of it. And then we're going to buy us one up here. And then y'all can do what you want to over here. Hello? I got my own ideas of what you ought to do, but we'll wait and see. I don't have a thing wrong with your house, except I want my own place. Y'all have a problem with that? Take it up with my wife. She's the one that wants it worse than me. Hello? Some of y'all look shocked, like, preacher's moving. I had somebody say, you moving out of Parsonage? I told you when I interviewed that eventually I'd get a house if I stayed here. Hello? And it's going to be close. It's in Alabaster. We just got to figure out how Frida's going to go to work every day. Because there's two different ways she can go, and it's 6 in 1 and 5 dozen in the other. But it's going to work out. Amen. Amen. But we need you to be praying about it, that God will get involved in it. I think he's involved in this guy coming and getting a house. And I think he'll be involved when we get one. Whatever one it is. Amen. He's going to have to be involved if we pay for it. Hello? But God's good. Can I tell you that we have not even scratched the tip of the iceberg of what God can do in Alabaster, Alabama, if we just turn him loose? We're going to see a move of God. Or I'm going to die trying to get a move of God to go. Glory. And I can't think of a better way to die than trying to get a hold of God. Hello? I wish some of y'all would catch on fire and burn up with me. We just have a big time trying to get a fire going. Amen. You know, if enough of us explode, there'll be a big enough fire, we'll start something. You know? I read one time about spontaneous human combustion where people just... It wouldn't bother me if I got so anointed one night I just flamed out right in front of y'all. Lord, wouldn't that be awesome? You don't need to get a match. We want it to be natural. I know that. Cut it short, stupid. Church, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you love them. See you Wednesday night. See you at prayer meeting if you show up. God bless you.